When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Oh, came back from vacay to all the heavyweights. Good morning, everyone. Welcome into First Take. Thank you for being with us. To my left, at least here, Stephen A. Smith. Good to see you, sir. Dan Orlovsky, the one and only Adam Schefter, and Shannon Sharp will be here in mere moments. How we doing, fellas?
What's going on, everybody? How y'all doing? Good morning. Hope everybody had a wonderful weekend.
Yes. Doing great, Miles.
Yes.
Good to see everybody.
Absolutely. Guys, free agency, the frenzy, almost here, and there's a big name on the move already. Let's dive in right now. Russell Wilson plans to sign a one-year contract with the Steelers, sources have told ESPN. The team-friendly deal will cost Pittsburgh $1.2 million, while the Broncos will pay the rest of Wilson's, listen to this, $37.8 million salary. Quite the steal for Pittsburgh. Russ joins 2022 first-round pick Kenny Pickett as the only quarterbacks currently under contract. All right, Adam, I'm coming to you here first. Tell me this. Why the Steelers for Russ? How did this happen?
Well, Molly, here's the situation. Essentially, last week, the Denver Broncos granted Russell Wilson permission to speak with other teams. Once they did that, he started his free agent tour early. So he was able to speak in an exploratory way with the New York Giants. He was able to meet with the Pittsburgh Steelers in Pittsburgh, spent about 6 hours there on Friday. Mike Tomlin has gone up against Russell Wilson twice in his career. In those two games, Mike Tomlin is 0-2, and Russell Wilson has thrown 8 touchdowns and no interceptions. Mike Tomlin's been pretty clear about the fact that they wanted to bring in somebody to compete with Kenny Pickett this season. Russell Wilson is essentially on a situation here where the Denver Broncos are paying $37.8 million of his salary, while the Pittsburgh Steelers only have to pay him the veteran minimum 1.2. There's no risk at all involved for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now Russell Wilson comes into Pittsburgh. He takes over there and competes with Kenny Pickett for the starting job. He believes he'll be the guy. He doesn't go there if he doesn't think he's not going to be the guy. And the Steelers have a new quarterback to go up against Kenny Pickett. That's what I think he was thinking in choosing the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Adam Schefter, always good to see you, buddy. Thank you for being on the show. Quick question here. Did they pick Wilson because of the low risk, or did they pick Wilson because the Chicago Bears are asking for too much and they weren't willing to pay that price for Justin Fields?
Well, Stephen A., I believe that they picked Russell Wilson because he fit what they were trying to do and he was the right price, both. And it's not that Chicago is asking too much. It's that as the Bears reviewed their options, or as the Steelers reviewed their options, they made the determination that this solution to their particular quarterback situation was better than the one of trading whatever it would take to go get Justin Fields with the fifth-year option that they'd have to pick up and guarantee or not, have to give up the draft compensation, whereas they can go get Russell Wilson, who's been to 9 Pro Bowls, who's won a Super Bowl, who last year threw 26 touchdowns and 8 interceptions, and I know the Broncos moved on from him, and Sean Payton gave him his permission to go seek another team, but the fact of the matter is he is an accomplished guy. And Pittsburgh's paying him $1.2 million without any compensation to the Denver Broncos, which is why we say no risk. So I think, Adam, all those factors enter into why it's Russell.
Adam, before we bring in Shannon and Dan, who's going to be the next quarterback to find a home?
Well, Molly, everybody keeps waiting for Kirk Cousins. That is the big domino to fall. But while we're waiting, Baker Mayfield goes back to Tampa. Russell Wilson goes to Pittsburgh. To me, Kirk Cousins has to make a decision because there's so much money, so much at stake, so much tied up in him that Minnesota needs to get an answer and Atlanta needs to get an answer. And those seem to be the two places that are obviously courting him, interested in him, and we'll see what he chooses. But Cousins is the most obvious guy out there, and there's so much riding on it that, to me, I would think that we get an answer from him probably at some point today, but we shall see.
All right. Adam, thank you so much. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
All right. I want to bring in Shannon and Dan now. Do we have those gentlemen? There they are. Shannon, good morning. Great to see you. Shannon, tell me this. The Steelers, do you feel like they're the best team to let Russ cook?
I do. They have a They have a very strong defense, and I think Russ, when Russ looks at it, you look at the option they got, Jaylen Warren, Najee Harris running the football. They got you look at the wide receiver core. Now, it looks like Deontay Johnson might be on the trading block. But I love George Pickens. I love Freiermuth. Offensive line is decent. Not great, but decent. And I think Russ is in the ideal situation. He goes in, and he's competing against Kenny Pickett. Now, Kenny Pickett has had 2 years to solidify this job. If Kenny Pickett was as entrenched as many thought he was, Russ would not be an option. The mere fact that Russ is an option lets you know that they're not as high or as strong on Kenny Pickett as many believe they are. I don't believe he holds off Russ. Russ will be the starter. I think this is an ideal situation for Russ. He goes to a team that I think they believe in him. I think Mike Tomlin really likes him. I think Mike Tomlin realizes that Russ is better than anything that he's had since a young Ben Roethlisberger, and this gives him the best chance because he's tired of going, you know, oh, he's never had a losing season. That's not good enough for Mike Tomlin, and I think Steeler ownership has made that abundantly clear. You know, winning season 10-7, that's not good enough for them. They want to be in position where they can compete for championships, and they haven't been able to do that in a very long time. And I think Russ is a viable option. But the question is, Russ, are they getting? Are they getting a 4 or 5 year ago Russ? Are they getting a Russ that the Seattle Seahawks says, nah, we're good, we're going to move on? The Broncos says, we're going to eat $85 million in dead money, and we'll pay you $38, $37 million to move on. So the question is, what Russ are they getting? Whatever the case that may be, that Russ that they're getting is better than Kenny Pickett.
Well, let me say this to you, Molly, D.O. and whatever. I am very, very, very disgusted with Shannon Sharpe this morning, and I'm glad that he's on the screen right now. I expect more enthusiasm. We are down here in Austin, Texas. I had to give a speech for South by Southwest yesterday. This brother is being honored with the podcast of the year. This is, I mean, usually you would think that Shannon would be a bit, I don't know whether it's true or not or whatever the case may be, but this is stuff that I'm hearing down here. This is stuff that I'm hearing. Point is, with all the great work that Shannon is doing, you would think that he would be a bit more enthusiastic when he's talking about Russell Wilson. And what does he do? Oh, no, that's not something that's going on here. He said,
that's not Patrick Mahomes.
Excuse me. Put Shannon back on. I want to see that man's face. I want to see that man's face. First of all, don't give me that, bro. Let me tell you something right now. I want to hear that. This is Kenny Pickett we're talking about. Anything is an upgrade with the quarterback situation the Steelers had last year. Now, me, I'm not going to sit up here and rave about Russell Wilson, but when you say Kenny Pickett, Mason Rudolph, Mitchell Trubisky. That's what you had last year, and now here we are today, and we talking about Russell Wilson and if he's this. Please, he's thrown 26 touchdowns last year. The Steelers have thrown 25 in the last 2 years. Shannon, I expect more enthusiasm from you, bro.
How about this? Can I give it to you like this?
Please.
He's on the market. No matter how fine a chick is, no matter how many Birkin bags of Chanel purse she has, if she's on the market, what does that tell you?
Well, that might do. She
can
be
a dime. She can have a mansion. She can drive a Bugatti with Rolls Royce and Cullinans. If she's on the market, what does that tell you, Stephen A?
That tells me that somebody didn't want her. That don't mean I shouldn't. That's how I
boom
answer that question.
You.
That's how I answer. Boom! What are you talking about? Boom! There it is. I mean, we don't know that. What's good for the goose might
Russell
not be
Wilson
good for the gander.
Russell Wilson was on the market, Stephen A. What does that tell you? If he was what you believe that he is, that you hoo-hard and you want me to have on pom-poms and doing a whiz, boom, bow, like, yay, go.
Is he a significant upgrade? Is he a significant upgrade to what the Steelers had last year? Yes or no?
Hold on. Bologna is an upgrade over potted meat. I don't want either one of them, though.
Oh, Bologna's your first name now? Really? That's what we do it? Bologna's your first name now?
Baby,
really? Go ahead, D.O. Shannon crazy. Shannon crazy right now. I can't believe Shannon just said that. Go ahead, D.O. Go ahead,
couple
man.
Things. Couple things before I get into my analysis. Fried bologna is delicious, Shannon. Fried bologna is delicious.
Oh,
so
my God.
We'll take
yes.
That.
Yes. Two. It's an upgrade over potted meat.
Fried bologna is delicious. Two, what happens if she's just, like, expensive and maybe too expensive for your blood? That too expensive that you can afford? Or what happens if she's got high standards? or high expectations, and that's why she's
well, as far
available.
As I'm concerned, when it comes to you, Dio, anybody, anything that costs is too much for you. I mean, that's not a good analogy coming from you with your cheap self. I mean, you're not the standard in that regard,
but
Dio.
But what happens
I'm
if
sorry.
She's, maybe she just got high expectations and standards, and that's why she's available, Shannon, that's all. You know, it doesn't mean there has to be a bad attached to her. Here, you said it depends on what Russell Wilson they're going to get, Shannon. If they get any Russell Wilson but 2022, this team will contend for the division championship. Yes, I understand Baltimore and Cincinnati are there. They're obviously the favorites. Cleveland's defense, what do we get with Deshaun? That's the only bad year Russell Wilson's had is 2022. Shannon, Stephen A. Molly, I said it this morning. I think this is the dumbest conversation I think I've been a part of in the last 18 months of what Russell Wilson is. Russell Wilson, in his last four seasons, he's gone 40 touchdowns and like 11 picks. Then he went 25 touchdowns and 7 picks. Then he had the bad 2022 year with Nathaniel Hackett. He went like 16 touchdowns and 11 picks. Last year he had 26-8. We talk about Russell Wilson in this public forum like he's an afterthought. Like he can't play. Maybe he's not, and I don't want to sell it as he is this top five quarterback. But everything that says play-wise, you can tell me Sean Payton carried him. 4 years of evidence. In his last 4 years, he's got like 110 touchdowns and 30 interceptions. But we talk about him like he's a backup for some reason. If he just goes and plays the way he did last year, next year for Pittsburgh, they're going to a playoff game. That's all he's got to go do. Russell Wilson is still a top 12 quarterback in the NFL.
Question.
But my question is, if he's everything that you're saying that he is, why would two teams move off of him for potentially Geno Smith and Drew Lock, and then move off of him for the kid that I forget his name. He came from the Raiders. Why would teams continuously move off a guy that you said is what you believe he is? Something is not adding up.
Well, can I answer that?
Go ahead,
can I answer that real quick? Number one, Shannon. Far be it for me, the non-football player on this panel, to bring this up. But you were in Seattle for a decade. So that's not like parting ways per se. He was there for a decade. Correct. And then in the case of Denver, well, he got contaminated by himself and his ego because it was a lot of non-football stuff really alienated folks. And then you had Nathaniel Hackett. That's a double whammy. So that might have something to do with it. And then Sean Payton comes in. There, and he instantly does not like you because of that residue, and that might have something to do with it as well.
I'd see, Shannon, that's where I stand on it. You know, like we did, Lewis Riddick and I called a Monday Night Football game after they moved on from Russ, and there was the overwhelming thing of it was just time. They wanted new leadership. They wanted a new voice. And again, he was going to be asking for an extension.
But why?
So all those because all those variables, they wanted something different and something new. That's just, it had just come to that point. And if you go to Denver, we all knew that Sean Payton going in there was going to want his guy. Russell Wilson wasn't necessarily his guy. Now, does his play warrant $40 million a year pay, Shannon? No. No. But his play is still good, solid, relatively high-level starting quarterback playing the NFL. No question.
Well, help Dio, can you help me understand what team wants to move on from a guy that threw 40 touchdowns with 11 picks? What team wants to move on from a guy that threw 25 touchdowns and 7 INTs? Tell me. So Jim Harbaugh, does he want to move on from Justin Herbert? Does he want his guy?
No, because they haven't been together for 10 years. I don't know Russell, Shannon. I don't know.
Hold on. Sean Payton hadn't been with Russell but for 4 days. So I'm asking, you said Sean Payton wants his guy. Does Jim Harbaugh want his guy? Does he want someone other than Justin Herbert? Now, I need you to, huh?
I get what you're saying. I understand the correlation you're making.
So that's all I'm saying. Look, I hope Russ is able to become Russ of 4 or 5 years ago? And that is the question that we're asking. Stephen A., to answer your point, yes, he's better than Mason Rudolph.
He doesn't have
he's better than Kenny Pickett. He's better than Mitchell Trubisky. But that's not good enough. Just by being better, does that ensure you the division? Does that ensure you a deep run in the playoffs by the, just being
Jalen,
better than marginal quarterbacks? Absolutely not.
And that's what I'm saying. Number one, they were 10-7 last year, like D.O. just said. But number two, and more importantly, Shannon, there's nobody out there that you could have gotten that's going to guarantee you the division against Lamar Jackson.
Correct.
Or Joe Burrow. So
Correct.
Whatever they got wasn't going to guarantee them that. So I'm not holding them to that standard. I'm simply saying they upgraded significantly. And here's the turn off deal. Let me turn my attention to you. Because let me tell y'all something right now. You, Adam Schefter, and everybody else, love you guys. Y'all gonna get big time attitude from me if everybody keeps going out there talking about, well, you know, he's got to fight for the job and he's going to compete with Kenny Pickett. And I don't want to hear that at all. As far as I'm concerned, if it is a competition, Russell Wilson need to go. He don't even need to bother coming to the Steel City. Because I know this much, a 9-time Pro Bowler, a Super Bowl champion, if you got to come in based on the Kenny Pickett that we saw this past season, and in his 2 years, 13 touchdowns, 13 interceptions, that dude, if you're competing with that dude and it's nip and tuck, and wait a minute, that's not what I'm counting on. I'm looking at Russell Wilson as a starting quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's how I'm looking at it.
Yeah, I totally agree. Shannon, Stephen A., I totally agree. I don't think this is a competition. Russell Wilson will be the starting quarterback. And I'll go back and say, last year, Russell Wilson was a top 10, top 12 quarterback, and he's going in a better situation now than in Pittsburgh. He's got George Pickens. He's got Freiermuth. He's got Deontay. We'll see if he's on the team. That offensive line was getting better. My point is this, Shannon. He does not need to be a better version of what he was last year. If you just copy and paste, now sacks, you hope they go down a little bit. Arthur Smith wants to run the football, play action pass. But my point is this. Yesterday morning, the Steelers didn't realistically have a shot within the division. We would fingers crossed and speak positively because of Mike Tomlin. And I agree with you, Stephen A. I'm not sitting here pounding the table going absolutely versus Baltimore and Cincinnati or Cleveland. But they got a shot now. Like, they got a chance to compete within the healthiest division in football, and that's because they have Russell Wilson.
Well, when you look at it, it's not very many times that you can bring a guy that's a 9-time Pro Bowler, and we know all he's accomplished. He's pretty close to throwing for 400 yards. I think in the next year, year and a half, he'll throw for 400 touchdowns. But when you look at this, Dio, is he better than Lamar?
No.
Is he better than Joe Burrow?
No.
No.
So basically, he and Deshaun are fighting it out for third or fourth best in the division. That's what
so
they
would
are.
Most guys.
I'm not interrupting normally scheduled programming to break news. Huh?
But were they going to go trade for C.J. Stroud or Josh Allen? I mean, most starting quarterbacks are not as good as Lamar and Joe Burrow.
But I think a lot of what I'm saying that's getting lost is, if Russ is everything that you've been saying he is, there's no way two teams move on from him with a span of 3 years. That's all I'm saying.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. Shannon, let's talk about your Lakers, shall we? Anthony Davis, how about it? Historic night. You feeling good, Shannon? Versus the T-Wolves. Davis had a career night, finishing 27 points, 25 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 blocks, 7 steals. How's that for a line? And a win against a Western contender in Minnesota. AD became the first player with 25 points, 25 rebounds, 5 assists, 5 steals in a game since steals became official in the 70s. Here's the man of the hour.
We're confident in our group. You know, obviously still got guys missing. You know, Cam sitting out with the ankle, you know, Vando, C. Wood, GP. You know, we still got guys out, but, you know, we're confident in our group. You know, we know that we can line up against anybody and beat them if we play the right way. And if we don't, then we can line up against anybody and lose. But I think right now, playing against these top teams is going to help us later on come playoff time. You know, it's a good test for us to kind of tighten up screws and figure out what we need to do.
I like that earring. AD putting in work. Okay, Shannon, the Hall of Famer, you know better than anyone to be the best. You gotta beat the best, HOFer. So tell me this. Try to be objective. Is this win devalued considering the T-Wolves didn't have Karl Anthony Towns? No cat on the court.
Now, is he gonna be back anytime soon? No. Oh, what about, so are we gonna devalue the win that they had against the Bucks? With no LeBron, are we devaluing that, Stephen A? I keep telling you, in a seven-game series, the only team that I'm fearful of in the Western Conference is the Denver Nuggets. That's the only team that strikes fear into me. But when if you tell me Anthony Davis might not give me 25, but you tell me I'm going to get that from AD, oh, Nuggets going to have to see us. This is going to be a seven-game series. Everybody else will get beat. If AD plays like that last night, because I already know what GOAT going to do. You know what GOAT is in the playoffs. There's a reason he's the all-time leading scorer, Stephen A. Smith. There's a reason. We about to make this run. We about to make a move. We put you on notice. You know what it is, Stephen A.
Oh,
and guess what we did? The thing is that we banged on our drum because we didn't want to sneak up on you. We want you to hear us coming. So what we did is we banged on our drums on Friday night against the Bucks, against Giannis and Dame. And D-Lo did what he did. AD said, my turn, give you 25 and 25. And then LeBron said, hey, did y'all forget that I'm the GOAT? Big G, big O, big A, big T, period. Did you forget, Stephen A? You must have forgot.
I did forget.
I got amnesia.
I got amnesia. You're setting up. You're traveling all over the damn country. You've been to one game this year. You understand what I'm saying? One game. I mean, where the courtside presence at? You know you shaky on the Lakers. That's why you ain't been a game. That's why I keep bringing it up. Because you know something nervous.
We all got work.
Come on now. But still and all, we find a way to get to them games more than you because you're nervous, because you know that there's something to be nervous about. By the way, you bring up Denver. I got it. So Sacramento ain't nothing to be worried about? I'm talking about Sacramento against y'all.
Not in the seven-game series.
Against y'all. What? Sacramento will take y'all. You do understand that, right? They will take y'all. I think New Orleans might take y'all personally. I'm just going to talk. I'm just going to say it. I'm going to speak
it
into existence. I don't want that to happen because obviously we all know where I want to be come May and June. I want to be in Southern California and apologize if that's anybody. But
did you remember what we did in New Orleans?
Did
we beat New Orleans by 40?
Yes, you
did.
Yes, you did. In the play-in. In the end-season tournament. Yeah. Yeah, I get that. But let me say this to you. Let me throw this by you. Hold on. Wait a minute. No, don't distract from my point that I'm trying to make. Don't try to be slick here, Shannon Sharp. Here's the deal, man. So Anthony Davis drops 40 against Washington. The next game he goes up against Jokic
is 17 when Jokic got 30, damn near 35-point triple-double, right? He sits up there. He goes up against Sacramento. Sabonis has a field day. He only drops 14 that game. But without Karl Anthony Towns, here he is with the 27 and 25. We know that Anthony Davis is an all-star. We know he's an all-world talent. I'm not trying to disrespect him. I'm highlighting it because I'm saying to you, you can't come to me and tell me you sure about anything unless that brother's going to be consistent. Now, I give this. He helped you win a bet because I owe you dinner because I thought that he was going to miss 17 games by Valentine's Day. So I lost. I got to stand down and give you props where it's due on that. In that regard, Anthony Davis looked out for you. Was he going to look out for you against Jokic? Is he going to look out for you against Sabonis? Is he going to look out for you against these other brothers? I'm not so sure about that, Shannon. So you can talk all you want to. And I don't mind. Listen, I'm not rooting against them. I'm just saying I know what I've seen. And they are up and down. You can't depend on them as consistently as you would like to. That is a fact.
Well, what you've seen... I saw your eye doctor the other day, and he told me you had astigmatism. So your eyesight ain't what it needs to be. But anyway.
Whatever.
Happened to the Clippers? I remember you was trumpeting the Clippers calls.
Yes, sir.
But after we done beat the brakes off them 3-1 and tracked them down from 15, you don't mention the Clippers no more. Now you keep throwing. Look, I've been abundantly clear. I've been on record. The team that scares me is Denver. They scare me because they got two guys that in clutch situations can take the game over. That's Jamal Murray. That's Yoke. And then they got a guy that can kick to. And Michael Porter Jr. that can drain threes. But everybody else in the Western Conference, I fear nothing. Because I tell you what, I've been talking to AD, and I've been in his ear. I've been offering him some kind words of encouragement. We tracking it. We're going to get that six seed. That's coming. We let one slip with the Kings. We had the Kings down by 19, ended up being down by damn 15 at the half. But that won't happen again.
So in other words,
if we got something Golden State on Saturday, I'll be at that game.
Oh, really? The game that Steph Curry won't be playing in? I mean, you really stepping out of the limit,
Shannon.
You sure about that? I'm not sure about that. That's number one. Number two, when you speak to AD, you call AD on the road while you're on the road? Because you're damn sure ain't in L.A., right? So you call him on the road, you get him on the phone. Is he answering those calls? We'll see what games he answers. You would lose to Denver. You would lose to Sacramento. I personally think you would lose to New Orleans myself. But you brought up the Clippers. Let me tell you something about the Clippers.
Man, stop it.
Listen, I'm worried, obviously, because of Kawhi and Paul George can never stay healthy. If Kawhi and Paul George, even Zubac, is on the court, y'all ain't beating the Clippers. You ain't beating the Clippers. I'm just telling you that. You're not beating the Clippers if they're on the court.
All the scheduling guys got... All they got to do is play a 12 o'clock game on the West Coast. And the Clippers toast. If they play a 12 o'clock game on the West Coast, the Clippers toast.
But playoff time ain't going to be no 12 o'clock games, man. Not with the Clippers and the Lakers. You ain't
getting that. Look at you. Hoping.
It's not going to happen.
Praying on their downfall. All right, I'll leave you with this. The Lakers are 6 games over 500
for the first time since
2021. Let me have my moment.
Whatever.
All right, let's
Shannon,
go.
Stop hating, Stephen A.
I'm not hating, man.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5X miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Shopping for Mother's Day is always a challenge because you wait until the last minute. But Macy's Gift Finder makes it incredibly fast and easy to find the right gift just in time for Mother's Day. Whether you're shopping for your sister's first Mother's Day or your fashionista mom who loves to make a statement, Macy's Gift Finder has so many great gift ideas that you can easily pick out something special to celebrate them both.
You can shop by price, anywhere from $25 and under to $100 and under. You can also sort by categories like fragrance, handbags, and more. Or gift lists, like for the mom who has everything. Pre-wrapped gifts or gifts for grandma. Find top brands like Studio Pro Model Beats headphones, Polaroid cameras, Samsung smart TVs. So what are you waiting for? Mother's Day's May 12th, and it'll be here before you know it. Macy's has the perfect gift guide to make picking something for mom easy this year. Head to Macy's.com/giftfinder today. That's Macy's.com/giftfinder. Thanks so much for listening to the pod, and have a fabulous day. Breaking news into First Take. Bengals wide receiver T. Higgins has requested a trade, sources have told our Adam Schefter. In 12 games for Cincinnati, Higgins had 656 yards receiving and 5 touchdowns. Adam Schefter joining us now. Adam, thank you so much for being with us. What more can you tell us about Higgins' trade demand?
Listen, Molly, this is a situation where T. Higgins got the franchise tag, and he wants a new deal. And there have been no contract discussions with the Bengals since March of 2023, 1 year. Usually when teams use the franchise tag, it's designed to essentially hold a player in place while talks are ongoing. But there haven't been any talks. And while T. Higgins wants to be in Cincinnati, plan to be there long-term, love the city, he's not happy with his contractual situation. And therefore, he is requested to be traded from Cincinnati. Now, last year, his name came up and the Bengals were quick to dismiss any idea that they would be moving on from T. Higgins. This time, he's issued a trade request demanding to be dealt out of Cincinnati after there have been no contract discussions. Now, I don't know that there's been a lot of interest so far in T. Higgins, but a request like this usually ignites calls around the league. And there'll be a team that doesn't land the receiver it wants, that doesn't get a wide receiver it needs, and ultimately could decide, okay, let's reach out to Cincinnati. Let's see the cost of compensation. Let's see what it would take to land a long-term deal with T. Higgins. But let's be honest about this. He's played himself into the franchise tag. He wants to get paid. The Bengals haven't talked to him about a new deal, and he's not happy about the current state of affairs with the franchise.
Adam, thank you so much. We'll continue to check in with you. T. Higgins, just 25 years old. I'll bring in Shannon and Stephen A. now. Shannon, tell me this. Which team should call the Bengals immediately about T. Higgins?
As soon as they won the Super Bowl, the Kansas City Chiefs should have been on the phone with the Bengals about trying to acquire their services, his services, because I believe he's a number one receiver. And it's hard. I don't believe the Bengals are going to be able to pay him because they got Ja'Marr Chase. He wants a contract. He's just waiting to see what CeeDee Lamb, what Justin Jefferson. All those guys are kind of waiting on each other, Stephen A., to see, well, if you get this, I get that. But T. Higgins just saw Mike Evans get, what, 2 years, $52 million with $30, $40 million guaranteed. So T. Higgins is not comfortable playing on a one-year deal that's going to pay him a little less than $20 million. He wants long-term financial security. And I believe he's played his way into a long-term deal. I just do not believe he can get it from Cincinnati, considering Ja'Marr Chase is the definitive number one, and he's going to want somewhere north of $28 million. He's going to be looking to get into that Tyreek Hill number, that magic number of $30 million. And so I don't believe the Bengals can compensate him what he believes he's worth. Kansas City needs T. Higgins. There are several other teams. The Bears can use his services. So should the Carolina Panthers or the New Orleans Saints. But the number one team, can you imagine him with a Patrick Mahomes? Rashee Rice has elevated his game. You still got Trav. Oh, man. If Kansas City got T. Higgins, and now that they re-signed Stone Cold Jones, Chris Jones, they're going to be the deal with Stephen A., but I don't know if that's in Kansas City's budget. But if I was Kansas City Chiefs, I would definitely be on the phone with Cincinnati Bengals asking what would it take to get his services.
What is the matter with you this morning, Shannon? Where is your compassion?
What happened?
Why would you wish Chicago or Carolina on T. Higgins? What did he do to you? What did he do to you, Shannon? I mean, why would you wish that on him? I don't want him in Chicago. I don't want him in Carolina. The brother, 25 years old, he can
ball. He want to get paid.
Listen, here's the deal. Kansas City is an option.
even though they probably wouldn't do it within the division trading with the Pittsburgh Steelers, I think the Pittsburgh Steelers is a place that he should entertain. The Dallas Cowboys, they could do a big time number two with CeeDee Lamb. I think that is an option that he should. I'm just throwing out teams that he should want to go to is what I'm trying to say. Whether they'd be able to pull it off or not, that remains to be seen. What about the Chargers? Because I don't know, Mike Williams and Keenan Allen are going to both be kept. So I'm looking at it from that perspective.
They're going to look to move Mike Williams. There you go.
So my point is this. If you're the Chargers, you got to think about that because you got Justin Herbert over there. If I'm a T. Higgins, I'm 25 years of age, I can't depart from a Joe Burrow to a Derek Carr in New Orleans, a Justin Fields or Caleb Williams in Chicago, a Bryce Young in Carolina. I can't do that. I got to sit up there and I got to look at a Justin Herbert. I got to look at a Patrick Mahomes, okay? Even though Russell Wilson isn't on that level with Pickens and what he brings to the table with questions as to whether or not they're going to keep Deontay Johnson, I think that's something that you could potentially explore. But in the end, here's the bottom line. The brother's 25. He was targeted 109 times the previous year. It dipped by 33 last season. Four less games he played due to injury, but still 33 less targets. You can't go from a Joe Burrow in that situation with Jamar Chase and Joe Burrow to go into just some regular old situation. You got to find yourself in an ideal spot. Patrick Mahomes obviously is first on the list. You're right about that. But those others I mentioned are worth considering as well.
But here's the thing you also have to consider. A lot of times, the really good teams don't have the cap space to give you that long-term deal.
Fair enough.
Normally, in free agency, the big high-ticket dollar free agents, they go to teams that didn't make the playoffs or didn't have a whole lot of success. Right. And so that's why I'm throwing out those teams, because I believe Bryce Young needs a number one receiver. I believe T. Higgins and now DJ Moore. It seems like from reading the tea leaves, they're going to take Caleb Williams. They got Komet. They've got good quality skill position players, and you want to do as much as you can to make sure Caleb Williams' transition is as easy as it possibly can, being from USC to Chicago.
You want to go from Joe Burrow to a rookie?
What'd you say?
I said, would you go from, if you're a wide receiver, you want to go from Joe Burrow to a rookie?
But no, I don't. But here's the thing. But with Joe Burrow, he got to be eating chicken breasts and chicken tenders. I'm about to go to ribeye. I'm about to go to Mastro's. I'm about to go to Steak 48.
That's what
you got me doing. The highest thing on the menu is $35.
We know you and your protein.
How you get there? You were rolling up there as you would say a Bugatti, a Benz, or whatever it is, a Rolls Royce, whatever it is. You were rolling up with that with Burrow. Now you're gonna roll up there. You might have to be wheelchaired up in that bad boy. I mean, before all is said and done, he playing with them dudes.
But here's the thing, Stephen A. I can't stay in Cincinnati. Jamar Chase is going to want $30 million. I can't go to Dallas. CeeDee Lamb. Did you see the season CeeDee Lamb had?
And Dak
Prescott.
He's going
to want $30 million. You can't go to Minnesota. Justin Jefferson, he's going to want $30 million. That's why he really wants to get out of the situation, because he wants to be a number one. You're not going to those places and be a number one. So if he wants to go be a number one, he has to go somewhere that does not have a number one receiver.
You're right.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. When you're on a business trip, you know what goes completely off the rails? Your workout routine, especially when you book a hotel that doesn't have a gym. So what ends up happening is you do a few push-ups, sit-ups in your room, run around the block, or you just skip it entirely. Lame. If you just stay at La Quinta by Wyndham, you'll discover there's a fully equipped fitness center at every location. Now you can wake up, power your buys, your tries the right way, or de-stress with a little cardio. The choice is yours. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting LectricEbikes.com. That's LectricEbikes.com. So let's get into some basketball. South Carolina's win over LSU overshadowed when Camila Cardoso shoved LSU's Flaujay Johnson to the floor late in the fourth quarter of yesterday's SEC championship game. Gamecocks guard Mylaysia Fulwiley had stolen the ball from Johnson, who wrapped her up, was called for an intentional foul. Johnson bumped USC's Ashlyn Watkins while heading to her bench, and then the 6'7" Cardoso rushed in and pushed the 5'10" Johnson to the ground. Johnson's brother came onto the floor, briefly made contact with Cardoso before being led away by security. In all, six players were ejected, including Cardoso. Let's hear from the coaches, Dawn Staley, Kim Mulkey.
You know, I just want to apologize to the basketball community. You know, when you're playing in championship games like this, in our league, things get heated. No bad intentions. They just try, their emotions got so far ahead of them that sometimes these things happen. So I want to apologize for us playing a part in that, because that's not who we are and that's not what we're about.
No one wants to see that ugliness, but I can tell you this. I wish she would have pushed Angel Reese. Don't push a kid that you 6'8", don't push somebody that little. That was uncalled for, in my opinion. Let those two girls that were jawing, let them go at it.
Camila Cardoso apologized online, saying, "I would like to extend my sincerest apologies for my actions during today's game. My behavior was not representative of who I am as a person or the South Carolina program, and I deeply regret my discomfort or inconvenience it may have caused." Okay. Stephen A., I'll start with you. What are your thoughts following yesterday's issue on the court?
No, I'd like, actually, Molly, I'd like to start with Shannon, because I know I'm passionate about it, but I know Shannon had a lot to say about this, so I want him to go first, and I'm going to piggyback off of Shannon.
Sure.
Go ahead, Shannon.
Did you see the two differences in the stories and the coaches? You see what Dawn Staley said and how she tried to downplay it? And you see Kim Mulkey, how she tried to upplay it? I understand this is an SEC championship game. There's a lot riding on it. LSU, if I'm not mistaken, hadn't beaten South Carolina in a very, very long time. And now we're in the SEC championship. And you know, you take things, you mean it figuratively, not literally. Oh, we're going to fight. We're going to fight them tooth and nail. We're going to scratch and claw. We're going to do everything we can. You give nothing, you allow them to take nothing. But Kim Mulkey, instead of saying, you know what, sometimes when emotion is high, logic is low. And that was not what women college basketball is about, especially with the love and support that the women game has received this year. Thanks to Caitlin Clark, thanks to USC, Juju Watkins, and some of the others. But for you to take that stand, I wish Cardoso would have pushed Angel Reese. Really? Is that what you want? You want to see a fight? You want the women's game to be marred by a fight? Really? Come on, Kim Mulkey. You've got to be better. And we've got to start doing a better job of holding Kim Mulkey accountable and responsible for some of her comments. We let that stuff slide because she's a national champion. I refuse to do that. I believe she was wrong in this instance. And Dawn Staley showed the utmost class and respect, not only for the game itself, but for her team and for the opposing team. I wish Kim Mulkey had to show that level of respect. But you know what? South Carolina won the game. They earned this victory. They played hard. You could tell early on in the game that Angel Reese or Cardoso, they were not going to back down. Both of these teams wanted to win the SEC championship. And unfortunately, a situation arose. Glad nothing, it did not escalate. I understand Flaujay Johnson's brother. That's his sister. Have to understand the circumstances. I've been there, bro. I understand. Sometimes you lose sight and you lose focus of where you actually are. But I'm glad, hey, nothing happened. He was escorted off the court. The women were suspended, expelled from the game. And it looks like Cardoso, she's going to probably miss the first round game. Obviously, it's a 116 matchup, but she's still going to miss this game. But I just wish Kim Mulkey could have taken the stance that Dawn Staley did.
Well, first of all, I agree with you 1,000% on Kim Mulkey. She does need to be held accountable. A lot of people let her slide with some things because she's a national champion. We didn't like the way she handled the Angel Reese situation when Angel Reese was gone from the team for a little while a bit earlier on this season. We didn't like the way that she handled things, you know, with all those social justice issues going on and what have you.
Brittany Griner Baylor.
And Brittany Griner Baylor and what have you. We didn't like the way she handled that. And now here's this particular situation. And let's, as my old buddy who recently passed away, God rest his soul, Joe Madison, the Black Eagle, once said, let's put it where the goats can get it. If this were Dawn Staley that took that position from Kim Mulkey, how would she have been treated? Now, Dawn Staley is a national champion herself. Dawn Staley, has been to three consecutive Final Fours. Dawn Staley has back-to-back undefeated seasons, is 101-3 over the last 3 years with a national championship in three Final Four berths on her docket and potentially about to win another one. And so we got to look at it from that perspective and think about the credibility that she has, yet she might have been treated significantly different than Kim Mulkey had those words come out of her mouth. So Dawn Staley exercised class, and not only that, she elaborated extensively even more, y'all, when she said this: our team from last year, who was significantly more experienced, that would not have happened because we would have calmed the waters. The players would have said, no, we're not about that. Similar to Angel Reese, people are trying to insult her because she was walking away and walking to the bench saying she ain't got time for all of that instead of fighting there with her teammates, not realizing she had just rolled her ankle on the previous play. So that had a lot to do with why she was not involved in it. But we know that Angel Reese ain't running from anything, and we know what a warrior she is. And so it'll be interesting to see. It'll be interesting to see what these two are going to do. These two teams are going to, I hope they face one another again. But Cardoza is going to be suspended, and she should. She knows that she was wrong to do what she did. The brother, I didn't like him jumping over the scorer's table. It was a bunch of ladies, but he didn't put his hands on anybody. He just saw his sister being harmed, and obviously it was an instantaneous reaction. So we got to give him a pass to some degree in that regard. But in the end,
absolutely,
it does come down to leadership. And when you see Dawn Staley articulate and verbalize her position, and you compare it with Kim Mulkey, Kim Mulkey exercises a lot of leniency, a lot of latitude with the things that she says, almost never held accountable for them. And we know
never.
That would not have applied to Dawn Staley. And so that I agree with you 1,000%.
No.
And that's why I want you to get that off your chest first.
Because if a man had said that, we would hold him accountable. But somehow Kim Mulkey has gone a long time and escaped criticism for a lot of things that she said. She's gone without criticism. And when I look at, and I remember, rest your soul, Pat Summitt, I had the opportunity of meeting her. Gino Auriemma. Can you imagine if Gino had said that?
Yeah. Would have been a problem.
Let's hold Kim Mulkey to the same standard and the high levels that we hold all these other great coaches to. Dawn Staley was class on top of class times three. And the way she says, I want to apologize because that's not who we are and that's not what we're about. And the other one was saying, well, I wish he had pushed our girl. Really? Really, Kim? Come on now. Hey, we got to do a better job of holding her accountable because we let stuff I don't. But this is really my first time having an opportunity to have a discussion about Kim Mulkey. And she says and does a lot of things that rub me the wrong way. And I'm not going to apologize for being as harsh and as stern as I am because of the way what she had to say yesterday.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.